This is KWAI Honolulu 1080 on the AM.
No. See, you got to understand, stepping is not just a dance. It's a culture. It's the way we live. It's what we eat, think, and breathe. You understand me? See, you out there on that dance floor and you with your partner and y'all holding hands and y'all swinging and swaying and you turning them and twisting them and dipping them. It's just such an exciting feeling you get. You know what I mean? Yeah, it's the Pied Piper of R&B, y'all. Whoa, whoa. Follow me. Yeah. Chicago and them. Oh, yeah. Don Juan and them. Yeah. This is for y'all. Remix.
Said I know that it's somebody's birthday tonight somewhere. And I know somebody's gonna celebrate tonight somewhere. I know one thing's for sure. I'm gonna put on my dancing shoes
and I'ma hit the door
and go out and step the whole night through.
Up in the name of love,
I'm gonna.
Up in the name of love,
and I'm gonna.
Up in the name of love,
yeah.
Up in the name of love,
I'm gonna step
in the name of love.
Ooh.
Up in the name of love,
in the name of
ooh,
love,
in the name of love. In the name of love.
See, I know there's somebody breaking out the champagne somewhere. And you can be sure that somebody's gonna make love night until the day. Oh,
one thing's for sure.
I'm gonna put on my dancing shoes
and I'ma hit the door
and go out and step the whole night through.
Up in the name of love, 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 up in the name of love,
in the
name of love. In the name of love,
wait till somebody else gets up.
Yeah,
I wanna be the first one to hit the floor.
Tell the DJ to turn it up,
turn it up.
Cause it feels so good.
Dancing to this remix makes me wanna step. Cause it's a cut.
Up in the name of love,
oh baby.
Up in the name of love,
go.
Up in the name of love. Up in the name of love,
up
in the name of love,
up in the name of love,
then I'm gonna prove in the name of love, prove in the name of love.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, it's the Pied Piper of R&B, and I would like to welcome you to the Chocolate Factory. This album was designed to make you feel good. For those of you who want to feel good, follow me. Yeah. Now I know everybody is familiar with the Stepping Game. Yeah, from the Loveland album. Uh-huh. But y'all know I had to go and do the remix and put it on the Chocolate Factory. Yeah. So the Stepping Game we played then is the same game we're gonna play right now. Are y'all ready? Come on. 1, 2, 3, sing.
Step, step, side to side. Round and round. If it not, separate, bring it back. Now let me see you do the love slide. Step, side to side. Round and round. If it not, separate, bring it back. Now let me see you do the love slide. Step, step, side to side. Round and round. If it not, separate, bring it back. Now let me see you do the love slide.
Step, 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 step,
Come on and step in the name of love. And let me see you. I will live it. Step inside.
It's time for the Carol Cox Show on K108, heard every Sunday from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. If you have questions for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080.
Okay, good morning. Welcome to the Carol Cox Show. I played a good bit of R. Kelly, and that was for Choice Kuwae Williams. This was his third birthday, and I'm sure that he was up dancing, and I didn't want to shut the music off. So anyway, happy birthday, Choice. And another friend of mine, Mike Leary, just turned 60. So he was hamming it up last night and playing music and what have you. So anyway, if you have a person, someone that you'd like to have a birthday song or something, give us a call one day, and it's worth it. Sometimes, you know, talk is cheap, so and that's what we're going to do today, in fact. We got two penniless. That's myself and Eric Ryan. As I told you last week, we were going to have Eric Ryan in. And we're going to toss around a lot of things. And all of the you that would like to come in, call in, and how would you describe it, Eric? Offer their condolences and throw rocks? Or
well, you'd think there'd be a little bit of eating of crow after the last year and a half of saying there's no way any of this could be proven.
Well, we can't eat crow here because I have a lot of vegetarian listeners, and I don't want to be cruel.
How about arugula or something?
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe, yeah. Maybe tofu.
No, I have Eric Ryan with me this morning, and this is the Carol Cox Show, of course. You can pick this up at carol@carolcox.com, and we'll post it up. If you want an email or have a comment you'd like to send in while we're on air here, carol@carolcox.com is the actual email, CARROLL, or the number here is 524-1080, 524-1080. And Eric, what's been happening? You didn't. Some say you disappeared on the radar, and then recently there was this. Just the other day, the ruling from the ethics, the campaign spending
right.
commission.
That's right.
And a great many people attempt, I guess they already predispose as to what they're going to say anyway.
Sure.
And that this was some small-minded
yes.
act, and as I think Berg has characterized it, to paraphrase, that this was assault on his integrity.
Oh, yes.
And also Kim Pines, and we're going to be discussing this whole thing. And
sure.
You were even arrested here.
Oh, yes.
And
it was quite dramatic.
And so, yeah, you look a little bewildered there. But.
You know, when that many people are looking at you as you're being taken away and snapping photographs and what have you, I'm not sure if there is ever an appropriate expression to have on your face in mm-hmm. those circumstances. But how do you even get to there? Well, a year and a half
mm-hmm.
Ago, when all of this first started happening, when it became clear that I was publicly calling Kim Pine a crook
mm-hmm.
and was just on the heels of being prepared to tell the world about my boss, Tom Berg, being the exact same way, probably the most consistent response from either them or their supporters or just pundits at large was, that absolutely must be untrue. Eric Ryan must be lying. It all must be completely made up. How could he have the nerve to say this about these two wonderful, respected public officials, Kim Pine, Tom Berg? I mean, they're perfect in every way, and you must be just a disgruntled former consultant or former employee, and that's your motive for saying this, and there's no possible way you could prove it. Well, last Wednesday, it's clear now for anyone who reads the paper or watches TV in the news, that it is provable, and the Campaign Spending Commission staff very intelligently, diligently, thoroughly looked through the evidence I provided. It truly was a mountain of evidence, 1,000 pages with 1,000 more coming that just reinforces the same points about the corruption. And I'm speaking specifically about Tom Berg at this point. I could get to Kim Pine in a moment. But they looked through it, they investigated further, they subpoenaed Tom's bank records, they did a little bit more review on their own, and came to the same conclusion that I was urging them to come to, which is that Tom Berg had been stealing tens of thousands of dollars from the city's taxpayers by using city employees' resources and cash to basically subsidize his political campaign. And many politicians do this. They hire people first as a reward for helping with their campaign, and then they have this expectation they'll continue doing stuff for their campaign either after work or during work in some cases, because it's expensive to campaign and constantly raising money, and I'm not justifying it. Exactly the opposite. I'm savaging these people for doing it. But, you know, you wonder where, I don't want to get too far off the field here, but you wonder why it is so many of society's problems don't get solved by these people in government, and that's because they're not 100% focused on their work.
Mm-hmm.
So many of them are focused on getting reelected. You know, you get the Kim Pine types who try and take credit for everyone else's work in order to puff themselves up to get reelected. You get the Tom Berg types who learned directly from Kim Pine at, you know, her feet for years, exactly how to milk the system illegally, but still milk it. Get government employees, government resources, access to information, also cash,
mm-hmm.
to use for your reelection campaign. Now, specifically what happened last Wednesday at the Campaign Spending Commission's monthly hearing was, you know, and I have to put a little ego aside here for a moment. This is the biggest thing that commission has dealt with since 10 years ago, when the Reen Mancho and Andy Mercatani cases came, especially Reen Mancho. That was the Campaign Spending Commission finding out from whistleblowers like me that this exact thing was going on in Reen Mancho's office, that she was using her staff very systematically to work on election-related things. Now, it's not the city's job or the state's job or the federal government's job to pay people to come to work every day in the government to help enhance the brand name of a politician or to help it improve their political career or their chances for re-election. That's not what we pay them to go and do. We pay them to fix things. And the reason I went to work with Tom Berg is I really didn't know him that well, but I thought that that's what we were going there to do, is fix things. As it turns out, from day one, even before day one, his goal was to get reelected.
And the emails that you have from him to
endless.
Him and endless, that state speaks to that.
Yeah, and everyone, I don't mean to just dance on his near political grave, but everyone in Hawaii probably remembers the most famous of his meltdowns in public, and that was at the APEC conference when he was just incessantly assaulting verbally the Secret Service and the police officers there. Whatever you think about that incident, I liken what happened on Wednesday at that hearing, because Berg was there, he brought one of his staff members who took my place. It was just like that. It was a complete meltdown. He just went on a tirade, what felt like to the people in the room, 45 minutes or longer, accusing me of everything from kicking puppies to stealing old ladies' purses and everything, doing anything he could but to talk specifically about the allegations and the evidence before him.
Mm-hmm.
And it was one of the quotes that made the paper. I mean, I was there watching it live. It was intense. He says, "I'm a broken man. I hope you'll help me, you know, find my way to becoming whole again, that this, all the pressure of this corruption investigation, the political attacks on my character, they just caused me to buckle, and I'm broken, and I need to heal." And it was just, this guy was just talking out loud. We got to hear the crazy thoughts that he seems to have all the time. But specifically on our legal stand, from a legal standpoint, the campaign spending committee's staff, made up of lawyers and thoughtful people who, you know, how to, you know, enforce the laws here, they recommended to the three actual commissioners who get to vote on Tom Berg's fate that he be found basically guilty of having broken the law. They call it the finding of probable cause of violation or something mm-hmm. crazy like that. But anyway, they stripped down the case to just me alone and my value to Tom's campaign that he never reported in his campaign spending reports. They didn't talk about the cost of, say, the use of the office and fax machines and internet. They didn't look at the cost of him using other staff members in his office for campaigning. The easiest thing to prove was just me, because in addition to all the wealth of email and other memos and evidence that I have, there's my own sworn statement, which is backed up by all that. Trying to get current staff members of Tom Berg and Evelyn Souza, Celeste LaCuesta, or others to suddenly put their loyalty on hold and come down and sign a sworn statement that their boss is a crook would have been pretty hard to do. As we saw at the hearing when his, I guess now acting chief of staff, Evelyn Souza, whom I hired to work for Tom back in March of last year, came down and tried to back up her boss as best she could. After she stopped crying, she said that Tom has never, ever done anything like this, and she would have quit if anything went on like this. Well, I can't begin to tell you how many memos and emails have Evelyn Souza's name on them in relation to campaign things, from fundraising to a host of things. But so they wanted to rely just completely on me, my evidence, and the irrefutable case that Tom didn't report these illegal things. What politician would report them? You file these regular reports to the Campaign Spending Commission in which you say, here's all the money I raised, here's all the in-kind contributions people gave me, and here's the money I spent, or here's the expenses made on my behalf. Well, that needed to include even the illegal contributions of his stealing from the city, the use of employees, the use of city funds, the use of city equipment, real estate resources for his campaign, didn't report it. And so, long story short, a month from now, they're going to get together after giving him one more final chance to explain himself and try and defend himself. Otherwise, they're going to impose more than $30,000 in fines and compensation to the city.
And, of course, this is still pending their decision, so
yeah.
I don't want to speak as if he's has been found guilty or give the impression that this is still... We're dealing with the bureaucratic system. Because,
yes.
And with great caution, I want to be able to, the
right.
listeners to discern that
right.
what we think
yes.
and what we may want to represent
exactly.
may be completely contrary to what may be the outcome, because I watched it with the Mufi Hanneman situation in Pittsburgh, where you know this guy is pinned the tail on the donkey. It's their baby.
Yeah.
But then they allow some other party, third party,
right,
to slide in and take responsibility. So I'm, you know, and I, not to throw water on your fire, but just the nature of this beast here in the state.
Oh, sure.
And with my cases,
right,
the complaints that I file, they're pay to play and what have you, and the use of his staff's family member's credit card.
Yeah.
The problem is, this commission does not have enough money to investigate these guys, because we wouldn't have anybody in the state capitol. We wouldn't have anybody in the city halls because they all cheat, all of them.
They do.
They all. I mean, and then when they're caught cheating, like Nestor Garcia, he's still sitting there representing us. But his vote doesn't really carry much influence, so therefore he can stay in. But when you look to the left and right of him, he got other people that are working on that. But anyway, just a little bit of...
No, I'm glad you said it, because it, and I'll pick up what you said, that people like this, the Campaign Spending Commission of the state, the State Ethics Commission, the City Ethics Commission, all of these agencies that are designed to help keep politics transparent, healthy, less corrupt, what have you, they're all underfunded. But then the other part of it that makes their job difficult is the politicians themselves have written these laws to be very difficult to enforce. For example, everyone knows if you witness a crime, you pick up the phone, you call 911, and, you know, a policeman comes. And that might eventually lead to a detective investigating, might eventually lead to charges. There's some kind of process by which you make the call, and they take it from there. In this case, you have to, on your own, completely and fully document something as if you're a Dick Tracy with a spy satellite and the ability to get and subpoena power or something and get all this information together and put it together in a format that they will accept as being legally legitimate for a, quote, complaint.
Right.
So the police department, you call 911 and you make a complaint, and they pretty much take it from there. You might interact a little bit with them and clear some things up, but this thing, you are carrying that gigantic truck over your head up the hill
as a complainant.
As a complainant. So I would like to think that at some point the commission has taken over and is running the ball. But I will tell you that as good as those people are, the laws are written to hinder you. The budgeting is such that it's also there to hinder you, where they don't have enough people. I mean, I was told point blank by these very nice people that work there, and they're very good and they're very diligent, that you know, ultimately they have to, you know, cherry pick which things they're going to pursue. And unlike 10 years ago with the Reen Mancho case, which was the most famous one, until prior to that was the Speaker of the House Danny Quijano case, which ended up being prosecuted by the feds. Reen Mancho got prosecuted by the city. I'm thinking Berg will probably get prosecuted by the Attorney General. But they don't have the investigators or the outside law firms to help them. They don't have like dedicated folks from the law enforcement community working with them. It's just them and you, and that's it. So if you didn't walk in with cases and cases of irrefutable evidence, a lot of these people are going to slip off the hook. And that is not the kind of law enforcement situation we want to have with politicians. That kind of corruption will never be tackled, because you think about what's happened to me in the past year and a half.
Yeah, talk about that. I want to get straight to that.
I'm like it or not, but I fit the definition of a whistleblower. Like it or not, there's enough of what I've done that at least remotely fits that description. Now you can say all these horrible things about me and not true, partly true, whatever. But the point is, I brought this forward. If I didn't bring it forward, it never would have come forward. And the critics of Eric Ryan will never get around to saying, thank goodness someone went after these crooked politicians. They never join in that chorus. They just attack me, but that's fine. The point is, who is going to come forward if they get treated like this as a whistleblower? I was straight up with law enforcement during the past year and a half. I said, if you don't do something about these crooked politicians, with all I've brought forward and all that I've put up with, you are never going to have a whistleblower ever come forward again on anything substantial ever again, because this is how one gets treated. Like me, hate me, it doesn't matter. The point is, this investigation, and ultimately if charges come against him, and if ultimately he has to pay back, and if ultimately he has to go to jail, let's say, right, never would have happened. Why? Because I'll tell you, I worked at City Hall. We didn't have investigators come sniffing around to make sure things were honest. We never, from the moment any of this stuff made it into the news a year and a half ago, was my phone ringing off the hook from people saying, well, we really want to help you, you know, we want to help get to the bottom of this, because this can't happen. No, it was the opposite. Every possible wall or barrier you can imagine, in addition to the nastiness, was set up. And so the average person wonders, why doesn't things get better in government? Why is there so much corruption? Why doesn't it get cleaned up? And I'll tell you, this is exactly why. Because you take a look at the Fast and Furious scandal. I don't want to get too far off subject, but that national scandal of gun running, and one of our Border Patrol agents got shot. Well, the guy who blew the whistle on that, he got fired. He was lured by his supervisors for a friendly meeting at a Denny's. And this was all videotaped. He gets served as walking papers for being a whistleblower. A whistleblower saying, hey, we have some really horrible policies, laws were broken, whatever. And that's how they treat whistleblowers. Mm-hmm. So I'm sorry, gin it up.
Speaking of that, I have a scenario here. I call it the slow and the curious.
Okay.
And that is, you have two politicians. Well,
right,
we had the prosecutor,
yes,
who witnessed all of these things, city prosecutor,
right,
who never prosecuted any of these people.
Right.
And never pound a table to say, let's get an ethics bill. With an ethics bill, folks,
yes,
I, as a prosecutor,
right,
can clean up government.
Right.
Well, he didn't do that. So
sure,
what did he do? He hurried up at his own pace,
yes,
and ran for mayor, became the mayor. So then turns around, so he served as a prosecutor,
yeah,
never prosecuting any of them.
Yeah.
Then turns, well, I take that back. That was somebody else, whoever went after Rod Tam, but
yeah,
but everyone else, the DeJews who had complaints, and
yeah,
Todd Oppos,
yeah,
and Nestor Garcia's, no prosecution, but he then leaves that post,
yeah,
and becomes the mayor.
I think I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, and then now we have another one called Kirk Caldwell,
uh-huh,
who wants to move to the front of the line.
Yes.
You know, he wishes to help the firefighters,
right,
the firemen,
yes,
the police department,
right,
and the ambulance drivers.
Mm.
And I'll comment on that later. But what about if he wants to be mayor, put his feet down, take his shoes off, and like they mash grapes for wine, and come up with a strong,
yeah,
potent ethics bill,
yeah,
and pass it. See, if you really want to be. But see, that's not conducive to allowing you to pay your friends millions. So what happens is that why I'm interested in your case, it's most people will go, oh, no, I can't talk because they'll do this,
yes,
and they'll put me in jail,
right,
like Kimberly Pine,
right,
actually had you thrown in jail because you were out waving signs. And please give the details if you could.
I absolutely will. I don't want to forget about it later. There's a point I do want to get back to about the City Ethics Commission, which is actually some really good news. But as an exception to the rule that no one ever tried to reach out and help. But I'll get that in a minute. But, yeah, your listeners probably know I've been waging a battle of sorts against both Tomberg and his former boss, Kimberly Pine,
mm-hmm,
whom I worked for in a consultant capacity. She also offered me a job to work in her office. Well, for a variety of reasons, that didn't work out. And I didn't lose any sleep about that. I was going to be working actually full-time for Berg while simultaneously working part-time for Pine over at the state capitol. And Kim Pine, boy, where do you begin with that? Let's just say after a year and a half of everything brewing and all of my criticisms of her, and she's made endless, nasty, unfounded, bogus allegations against me that I'm a computer hacker, that I do all these just terrible things like make false allegations against her, because she's a saint, you know. She actually, I think, was sainted out in Eva Beach as the high priestess of being a goody-goody. But then when you really know her, and you really know what she does behind the scenes, and you really get to know how vindictive she is, and where this all began for me with her was in Tom Berg won a special election on December 29th, 2010. He had run unsuccessfully for State House that year, and then all of a sudden Todd Appoe says, I'm going to take a job at Disney, so I'm going to bail on the city council. He's not just the councilman for West Oahu, he's the chairman of the whole city council. He's going to bail and take a job. That creates his vacancy. Berg decides, well, I just lost this State House campaign. I'm going to throw my hat in the ring for city council. A few weeks later, he's won. Out of 14 candidates, he wins. What happens if on December 29th he wins? The next morning, December 30th, Pine summons me, Berg, and her chief of staff, John Goldner, down to her office. And we're read the Riot Act. We are told, Tom, you may have won, but you're now going to do what I tell you. I'm going to tell you who to hire, I'm going to tell you who not to hire. And that's how it's going to be. Because I wanted to run for
and
city council.
And these are documented.
This is all documented, yeah.
Well, not just documented, but in emails generated from her to Berg. And
yeah, you want to read about it? It's all there.
I don't want to set it up to invite questions because I don't like dumb people calling me when we are dumb.
Right. If you really want to know the truth, go to KimPineIsACrook.com. It's a pretty famous website now. But the documents are there. So anyway, she doesn't leave it alone when I and Tom Berg tell her, no, you can't tell us who to hire. And she made it really clear, and she put this in writing, if you don't hire who I tell you to hire, I'm going to run against you the next time you're up. And that Tom Berg filling a seat on the city council, it's normally a four-year seat, but we're filling a vacancy, so only for 2 years. So Tom's going to be in there for 2 years, and if we didn't do what Kim wanted, she was just going to come full throttle running against Tom. Now, some of you might be thinking, oh, my goodness, I thought Kim said recently on that debate for KHET that public television, that she said, I only recently got in the race to run, and I only did it because I care about the community so much. Shibai. She's been running against Tom Berg since the day after he got elected. The rest of the threat was, if you don't hire who I say you should hire, I'm going to run against you. If you do hire and do what I tell you, I will go and move to another district. Nestor Garcia? Yeah, his term is going to be coming to an end. She'll move to his district and run for that seat. And that's all in writing, and that's all been confirmed. And so, really, she's been running for 2 years. That was the beginning of a long process of me just finally figuring out how corrupt this individual was. And there's just so much. But coming to the present, Kim Pine, all of her criminal allegations against me went nowhere. So what did she do? She got herself a criminal defense attorney named Michael J. Green. He's famous for things like getting crooked politicians off the hook, like Dalton Tonanaka and such, letting rapists go free. So they drag me into court. They get a TRO. Why did they get a TRO? Because my calling her a crook made her sad. And because she was sad, it caused distress for her. And because it caused distress, that's the only thing that's necessary to get a TRO. Everyone knows TROs are for, you know, like abusive boyfriends or something. I'm calling a politician a crook in public, and it made her sad. So this judge issues a TRO, no questions asked. Now, the interesting thing about the TRO law is you can get a TRO just by weeping on the stand, but when it comes to enforcing it, someone like in my case who has a TRO against him with Kim Pine actually has to do something that's really bad. You can't just make things up. There's a specific protection in the law that says your constitutional free speech is protected. It's protected. So if you're doing constitutionally protected activity, that person can't accuse you of harassing them or stalking them or making up some kind of phony case. So here's what happened. So I'm standing a few weeks ago on the corner near Chili's in Kapolei. Actually, wasn't even right on the corner because a lot of people normally show up and sign with there. I'm up the hill a bit, and I'm sign waving. I've got my big banner, and people coming home from work that day, I'm waving to them with my big banner that says, Kim Pine is a crook.
Mm-hmm.
Kim Pine is a crook. That's it. I'm just sign waving. I'm waving to the nice people as they're driving by, and I'm trying to encourage people to go to the website. Well, I'm there at like 2 in the afternoon,
every once in a while I look down the hill because I'm curious, you know, if I should be waving in the other direction. And I start to see other sign wavers show up for different campaigns. It's a very popular corner. Mm-hmm. And among these people, it looks like Pines people have shown up. I recognize the signs because I designed the logo a couple years ago. So they're showing up. I'm focusing on the traffic for a few more hours. Next thing I know, I look down the hill, and she's talking to some police. Why is she talking to police? Why are police here? I didn't know it was her at first. I just saw police. I thought maybe there was an emergency at Chili's. But no. A few minutes later, I get a tap, tap, tap on the shoulder. It's these two huge police guys telling me, hey, are you Eric Ryan? I said, yes, I am. What's it to you? He says, well, you've got to come with us. You're under arrest. Are you going to resist arrest? I said, why would I be arrested? Are you going to resist arrest, sir? So I pull out of my pocket the law, and I say, look what it says here. It says you can't hassle me for doing constitutionally protected activity. I've been nowhere near her for a year. I haven't called her in a year. I've done nothing. The TRO is bogus to begin with. And now you're telling me you're going to arrest me for sign waving? You're going to arrest me for sign waving? You've got to be kidding. Anyway, long story short, they perp walk me down the hill in front of everybody. The most excited person must have been Kim's husband, Brian Roglowski. Next thing I know, I'm sitting in a jail cell in the Coppola police station, being served top ramen through a hole in the door, and being told how lucky it is that, you know, I wasn't being treated any worse. But then the most amazing, miraculous thing happens. My wife comes, I make bail. Shortly thereafter, I find out there are going to be no charges filed. No charges. I get to court on the day because I heard there might be no charges filed. I get there. My name's not even on the courthouse door. They tell me there's not going to be any charges. Just go home, collect the refund of your $250 bail, and that's it. And hopefully it'll all go away. So witnesses all tell me, and I've got statements, the witnesses tell me she was standing there for almost an hour herself harassing the police into doing something like arresting me. She's telling them, he's terrible. He's violating the TRO. Anyway, so that was just a few weeks ago. And
so that's
what they do.
Now, you appeared in court for that, and there was no court case?
No case.
Okay.
The bailiff had to make phone calls to find out what was going on. They found out they aren't going to touch this case with a 10-foot pole, mm-hmm. that she abused, probably because she abused her power.
So now the actual TRO that you have,
yes.
The judge issued that, and this was going to go for 3 years?
3 years, I have to stay away from her, but they made special conditions because they know that this is a politically motivated TRO, and so the judge at least tried to include some new exceptions in there, which means I can go anywhere I want in the state capitol, anywhere I want in City Hall. Pine wanted to banish me from there completely, so I'd have absolutely zero political voice, and she restricted it down to I just can't physically go into Kim's actual little office, mm-hmm. at either the legislature or if she makes it on the city council there. But she wanted to banish me completely. And that's completely in line with arresting me for sign waving. She just wants to silence what I have to say.
So what now? Are you pursuing any action or reviewing, contacting any lawyers to speak to this? Do you believe that this was a violation of your constitutional civil rights?
There's no question it was.
Actions are you taking to address that?
The two entities most to blame are Pine herself and the Honolulu Police Department. The way I envision it, there'll be co-defendants in a civil rights suit, which would follow very much along the lines of that Mitch Cale fellow who was tackled down there at the state capitol.
So have you consulted lawyers or are you in motion to do that, anything?
Yes, submitted the particulars of the case, the photographs, the statements and everything to the local ACLU office, mm-hmm. in hopes that they'll assign me a really great attorney who can help take care of that. If not, I'm ready to go forward with my own private attorney. I need my coffee.
Yeah, anyway, the question is, with all of this, I'd like to convey,
sure.
And this isn't if Pine is out there.
Yeah.
I would welcome her to call in and offer some input or her opinions. But I took this opportunity to invite you in because one of the things is that while she was saying that you were a liar,
yes,
or you're psychotic,
yes,
and as I've said on earlier shows, I have an actual audio of her recording, of talking, saying that she's not afraid of you, she's not thin-skinned,
right,
that she was going to do this for the Filipino people,
yes,
something to that effect, and but goes ahead and pursues this process. But
right,
even with me,
yeah,
she said that she denied, and we broke the story on this show, that she was going to change parties and run for city council.
As a Democrat.
She, yeah, yeah, and but whatever she was going to, she denied all of that.
Ah, right.
And they denied, I mean, that,
yes,
they were going to, she denied that there was a fundraiser at Ocean's 808.
Right.
All of that.
Yes.
And today,
yeah,
you see, this is the problem with my concern is when people say, poor, poor, pitiful me.
Yes.
They're hurting me and they're saying bad things,
right,
and for the moment, and
yeah,
they got the attention. And so the media even treated you as if you were this liar and
yeah,
who was picking on. But the reality is,
yeah,
now Kim Pine is doing what?
Well, exactly.
Running
what
for.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't predict it. Just based on her statements,
yes,
and her comments to people that were surrounding her,
right,
and that were supporting her,
yeah,
and
I,
someone on her staff or assisting her,
yeah,
gave me that information, and then you in turn gave me some, and
go.
I went to third, fourth, and fifth parties down the rank, and they, people that were directly involved with her, confirmed this.
Yes.
When talking to her, she said no.
Right.
So it's the believability.
Sure.
Again, you and I'd like to talk about some of the political,
yeah,
gamesmanship that went on with all of this and convey to the listeners that it's such a game.
Yes, it is.
And no matter how manini or petty it,
right,
the act is, for them it's important,
yeah,
to stay in.
Yeah.
You know.
Oh, yeah.
So you take, for example, Kim Pine is now running against Tom Berg.
That's right.
Tom Berg has found himself... And I've had people to call and said, well, you know, Berg is better than Pine because she's Republican and she's Tea Party, and it's the lesser of two evils.
Yeah.
And I don't look at life that way. I believe that if we've gotten to that point where the lesser of two evils are vote,
yeah,
then don't vote for any of them. And if,
yeah,
one wins, immediately initiate a recall campaign.
Right?
Right? It's you don't throw your hands up and go with it. But just to share with some of the listeners, the what has happened, and I've been approached, well, you should go easy on Berg to enable him to get in office.
Yeah, I hear that too.
And I think that if you look at the flurry in
his
behavior has been one that that demonstrates that all of the issues, he's against rail.
Yeah.
Good.
Yes.
Good thing. I'm against rail too.
Right.
But on the other hand, let's still remind ourselves who you are.
Sure.
So we're not going to allow you to adopt this policy. That's good. You are. He's put in a bill for animals to protect animals,
right,
and euthanasia.
Right.
Prevent that, which was a dumb bill,
yeah,
because it is, you can't do it. I believe we shouldn't be euthanizing anything. I really do. I wish we could go to no-kill shelters.
Yeah.
But I don't want it to be introduced by a guy who's already got his feet stuck in mud,
yeah,
politically,
right,
because he stepped in mud. The sign said, warning,
right,
deep mud.
Yeah.
Right. But now he's mired in that and bogged down. So we see these bills, okay, people campaigning for houses allowing containers.
Right.
Well, this is show you how this container bill that allowing people to live in,
yeah,
that he's so strong is coming from his treasurer or campaign manager,
yeah,
out there in Waianae, who will be a direct beneficiary of that.
Well, so, shame on you for noticing that.
Nothing, you know. And then there's Kimo Kelii,
right,
who's involved with him and
right,
his, who he said he wouldn't get rid of.
Yes.
Well, then he tries to poo-poo the fact that. Play it down that there were the T-shirts are no big deal.
Right.
The T-shirts are a big deal because there was, and I have the letters and the information that the Campaign Spending Commission simply couldn't go and do the thorough investigation and where there's doubt and in the fact that one instance, and I reported this on the show, that he met with a group of people and that party wanted to have some legislation introduced to on marijuana. Dispensary or legal. And immediately a letter was generated from his another one wanted horse trails or trail rides. Macaha side. Immediately a letter was generated and with the specific instructions that you write this letter. And then I will give you the donation. So again, there's much more. And then with your campaign, with your complaint, he's not guilty of any. People can file against you and make claims, and until the gavel falls and the jury decides whether you're guilty, I'm always reluctant to talk about just because you file a case, a complaint, you're guilty. The party is guilty. You know, I don't believe in that. So, one other. Well, it's not just one other, and I'm sharing this not in your defense, but to walk the listeners through real-life scenarios where, take, for example, there was a Nanakuli parade that was awesome, you know, to see acknowledging the kids and rewarding them and thanking them in that community for they what they had done, won sports competitions and whatever. So the rules were no politicians would be invited. Now, I'm not going to portray her as a sneaky or anything. I'm just going to tell the story and then let the listener, if it's if it rests on their shoulders. And it's, it, what happened was that Kim Pine found her way onto one of the floats, and she donned or borrowed one of the jerseys from one of the little girls that were on the teams and put the jersey on, and then... somehow a sign was made and put on the float, thank you, Auntie Kim Pine, or something. To don't come call me and complaining, and don't go get a TRO because I have the photographs and then all that. So you know.
Oh, I think you're going to get arrested right after this show, Carol, for mentioning it.
Well, you know, I understand, but then she's Tea Party too, so that's what Tea Parties do, right? They, if you don't give them their, you go and arrest him right now, and you know he's not carrying a.
I think the word is opportunist.
So so now that's one scenario. And this is I'm telling this story because I'm hoping that the listener and the voter can see they should hang their face in shame for not sorting through these people and courting them, courting this one and you like this one and you like the, and you end up at the end of the day you got yourself nothing because there's a big ball, a gala affair going on downtown where they delve out monies, better roads, better sewage, better treatment, you know. Your community not going to get it because look what you're picking. Look what you're choosing from, right? And you didn't have the mindset. So here's another scenario. The Nanakuli community out there, the homestead, is taking issue with the development. Makana Homes and what have you. And I'm, I've been helping, doing some research and supplying.
That's them, that strip mall with the apartments?
Yeah. So here's the deal. So this is per the lady now who she wrote a letter, Tessie wrote a letter and wanted to send a letter to the community. To, so somehow Kim Pine found her way to this lady, inserted her herself into this lady's life, and authored a letter on behalf of the lady, Tessie. But the letter was speaking to some of the things that Collie Watson and Michael Kahikina and others were committing or acts committing, and she didn't agree, and then so does many of the other community members. Pine authored the letter and in turn consulted Collie Watson to write this letter, and I have a copy of the letter where Collie's comments and a little stickum on there. And I wrote Kim Pines and asked her, did you consult or co-author this with? She says, I didn't co-author it, but I did call Collie Watson up to get some of the points to make sure what they were claiming. This was a lady who was writing for clarification to the community because there was some misinformation.
Yes.
And she wanted to clarify. That's all she wanted. So she posted it on the web, on the Facebook.
Yes.
And immediately upon seeing it, pulled it down. Not she, the lady, Tessie. Okay?
Oh.
And I have copies of just one.
Oh, yeah.
But again, do we need that kind of character and operating within government? When they say the T-shirts were a small bit,
right.
But it's not small.
No, it's that every one of these infractions or ethical diversions is based on a lack of character, a lack of commitment to following the law. What you're explaining in the case of that strip mall and housing controversy out there, the one that's going to let federal funds come in. And basically it won't be Hawaiian Housing anymore. It's just whoever, you know, files an application. Kim Pine, classic political maneuver. She thinks that she needs, in order to win the election, to sew up some support and maybe even foment a scandal against Berg out in the Waianae Coast. Mm-hmm. You see, she's been representing Eva Beach for years. She probably thinks she's got that sewn up. She's been working on Kapolei for at least a year or more. Thinks she's probably got that a little bit more sewn up. The Waianae Coast, for some reason, is where Tom Berg has put so much of his focus politically that she probably thinks she needs to make enough of a dent. Now, people like Pine have the benefit of polling that gets done by big developers will pay for it and others. So she probably has a sense she needed to do something. As a result of that bit of desperation, hey, I better do something to help my chances out there politically against Berg, she makes this clumsy and easily detected maneuver that you've uncovered to try and position herself between the parties and get in on the action. She had no dog in this fight before. As an elected official, she knew what was going on for all this time, and she let it happen. But all of a sudden, when it became politically opportunistic for her, she said, I got to get in on this action. I've got to position myself to make it look like Tom Berg and his campaign manager are dirty, and I'm with the people. And yet she's still part of the machine. She's still on the inside. So this triangulation is disgusting.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're going to come back in the next hour. And this is the Carol Cox Show. I'm speaking with Eric Ryan, and we're discussing the West Side and its representation. But the bottom line is, for the last 3-4 years, that West Side has been underrepresented by...
Oh, yeah.
Because either they quit prematurely, like Mr. Apo, and causes a special election.
That's right.
Then now there's another election, and I think the community is part to blame because they, too, have special interests in different pockets.
Yep.
And at the end of the day, conflict is present.
Yep.
So we'll be back in the next hour, and thanks for joining.
I think I did just...
As I lay me down, heaven hear me now. I'm lost without a cause, after giving it my all. Winter storms have come, and darkened my sun. After all that I've been through, who on earth can I turn to? I look to you, I look to you. After all my strength is gone, in you I can be strong. I look to you. And when melody sinking to rise no more. Searching for that open door. Every road that I take by the approaching
shadow. This is KWAI, Honolulu, 1080 on the AM dial.
It's time for the Carol Cox Show on K108, heard every Sunday from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. If you have questions for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080.
Okay, good morning again. Welcome to the Carol Cox Show. We are back, and I'm here talking with Eric Ryan. We're talking about various complaints that... That has been filed against Tom Berg and just also his competitor, Kimberly Pine.
Yep.
And if you missed it, given some basic details of his arrest by the police department,
on behalf of Kim Pines. And the is there any danger, Eric, of the police coming back and saying, well, we delayed this or some technicality why we didn't charge you, or did they give you a clear statement that they declined prosecution?
Actually, first question, am I fearful of that happening? No, not really, although this experience has sort of put a certain fear into me about free speech in Hawaii. I have not gotten that super clear statement from them, although I think the writing was on the wall when I get there and my name is not on the courthouse door next to everyone else in court that day, and the bailiff and the prosecutor later, you're trying to figure out why I'm even there. And then they tell me that, well, just go get your bail money and we'll see you later, and that'll be the end of it. I haven't had a single phone call returned from the prosecutor's office just trying to find out, you know, am I getting an apology letter or something? I have no idea. But I am worried about, for instance, like between now and Election Day or even after the election, if I do something that brings attention to this complaint, if I go out there with my Kim Pine is a crook sign or my impeach Berg sign, do I have to worry about police showing up? That, you know, it is a concern because, you know, I don't always have $250 at the ready to get bailed out. And I'm, you know, I'm in a public place. I'm just letting people be known through my website, through emails, press releases and sign waving, what's going on. And so it did come as a huge shock getting arrested for that. But I have a feeling that we're probably in a position now where they're more worried about me suing them for what happened than me being worried about suddenly them saying, well, we are going to prosecute after all.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's unfortunate. But again, the fact that the judge gives or issues or award a TRO and based on no physical threats, and I still think that if the judge had heard this lady claiming that she'd been hurt, were to hear this tape that I have, the recording of Pine, the judge would have probably ran them out of the courtroom. Because in court she's saying she's fearful of whatever and you've embarrassed her, but she's clearly, during this interview when I talked to way back, she was clearly stating she wasn't afraid, she was thick-skinned, and she was doing it on behalf of a woman and the Filipino people that she represents.
Right.
So I just, it's a miscarriage of justice, and to for the judge to have even allow that, knowing that it's a very slippery slope, or just reckless, in my opinion, and just hearing and reading what was said.
Well, judges are just like you and me. You know, they read the newspaper, they watch TV, they listen to the radio, and I know in my heart that this judge was exposed in advance of that courtroom day to all the nasty things that were said about me by Pine. And so when we go into court and she and her lawyer just repeat this stuff, even though it has nothing to do with her safety. I mean, the fact that I call her a crook and I have this website that calls her a crook and documents why I say I call her a crook, that, I mean, think about it. Politics, nationally, statewide, locally, people are accusing politicians of things all the time. And we've really gotten now to the point where to silence folks, we're going to have them arrested, we're going to get TROs. Because here's the deal. All the accusations she made about me, hacker this, all this nasty stuff, every one of those things, I mean, she accused me of hacking into the state government's website and email system, which is completely shabai. I owned a website for her campaign. I owned a website. I owned the email service. Nothing involved with the government. It was all my ownership. But she's out there. You know, she parties with these people in the media. She's friends with these people in the media. They believe what she has to say. So it wasn't a big surprise to me when the judge threw in with her and gave her this TRO, because here's the thing. She didn't prove a single thing against me. Not a single law enforcement agency is concerned about me. But she had to go into the election season with some piece of paper that said, Eric Ryan is bad. You see what I told you? I got a TRO which is quite different than all the things she was accusing me of, breaking all these laws.
Has she done that, actually waved the TRO around? Or you have any specific instance where she took the TRO and said that I have this against Eric Ryan?
Well, she certainly did it there in Chili's with other police officers.
Other than that, I mean, as...
Let's see. I mean, I've seen postings on her Facebook page.
Regarding this.
Okay. Regarding this, yeah, okay. Where she's...
I want to be clear, because if she's, you know, she wouldn't come on anyway, but I don't want to sit here and just go willy-nilly into the night and talking off the handle. The judge, while she may or may not have known all of this, what was presented in court, what I'm curious about is the fact that she issued, and reading the TRO, I don't have the transcript, but you didn't make any threats to her personal safety.
No.
But it's contrary to what, while she's behaving in such a way, but anyway, that I seize this opportunity to talk about it so that the listeners out there on the West Side who's going to be in voting and what have you,
right,
they'll know what they're getting. And they're not getting the lesser of two evils. They're not.
No.
And what they're getting is one is a politician.
Yes.
Berg is... He's a fledgling, but they both helped found the Tea Party here. So this is what's troubling and quite curious is that while they're at one another's throat, they come from the same cradle, appear to share the same values.
Right. I'll be honest, these could have easily been two Democrats, two Republicans, two Green Party members. The point is one of them had power, Kim Pine. The other worked for that person in power, Tom Berg, and he's worked for other people in power at the Capitol, learned everything he knew from working for Kim Pine as far as how to work the system, politics, and everything. And at some point, you know, these politicians that are all in the same neighborhood want to move to higher office. Well, they're going to come into conflict with each other. Mm-hmm. So there's an inevitability to the political conflict here. But what you said before the break, the thing about how people, I mean, this wasn't your word, but for me, they become irrational at election time. They think, because I've decided to support this guy or this gal, that nothing else matters. I'm gonna compartmentalize and shut out everything I know that's terrible about these people because I really, like, rail is super important to me. I've got to have the rail, so I've got to vote for Kim Pine, forget everything I've heard about her. I hate the rail. I'm going to vote for Tom Berg, forget everything I've ever heard about him because this is so important. But I'll tell you, the same thing I tell these people who get so irrational about the issues and the politicians and the elections, personally, my own vision is both of these people are eventually end up in jail, and there's going to be a vacancy on that city council, and that this election is really just an empty exercise for now because I don't think either of them deserves to be in office, and I think ultimately neither one will stay in office.
Right.
But as the truth comes out, perhaps it's Berg first and Pine second.
But now this again, it's like what you're saying and. I'm wanting to exercise great caution because you say that they are would be arrested.
Yeah.
I want to leave my listeners knowing that
unless
you have some specific knowledge and control of the judges and the judicial system.
Which I do not.
You're saying you're personal based on the information you have and that you'll submit and present to the courts.
Right.
Right. That's. I just have to definitely say that to make it real clear that because you claim these things, you know, we're not. I don't want to.
Oh no.
Sit
here that's why I described it as my vision, my own vision.
Your own
of this,
personal.
The
vision.
Way it'll play out is this.
I'm just placing emphasis and restating that because you know, people go away. Well, you know, who is he to say that? Just because he speaks, they're guilty. No, he didn't say that.
I hope they heard maybe half an hour ago when I made it very clear. I'm this little guy who is operating within a very confined legal system trying to get some action taken against what I believe to be very corruption. And I am not a law enforcement person, but it's almost amazing how the rules are written that you have to practically become one to develop the evidence and the arguments and the complaint to get any action taken. But I'm just a little guy.
Yeah, well, again, the emphasis is that we don't want to sit and represent just because you and I say that we believe they did this and it's our vision that they may be found not guilty, or or the system may decline to even accept the case. So I have to be a great emphasis on that. I don't, because we speak.
Right.
You know, that's one of the reasons I don't get involved with the Republican Party, because whatever they say and you know, and Fox News say it, it's the facts and that's it, Jack.
So, right, or Drudge Report or
whatever. And the Democrats, they don't say anything. They just hope it blow over.
I think that this is that year. I want to say this. The reason why the Campaign Spending Commission ostensibly did not take the final action against Berg this past Wednesday, mm-hmm. was, first of all, Berg ran out the clock. He got up there and just went APEC on these people for about 30, 40, 45 minutes and not answering questions, just making accusations. But the point is, he ran out the clock, and as part of his pitch to them, because they were very concerned, Mr. Berg, why have you not really defended yourself other than this skimpy little three-page letter in response to Mr. Ryan's complaint and the wealth of evidence? That's it, and you've come here today. Today's your day to defend yourself. Why haven't you come here to defend yourself? And what he said is the only reason, as I understand it, why they didn't take action on Wednesday and they kicked the can down the road for 1 month. He said that I, referring to me, Eric Ryan, have kept Berg so busy fighting off all of the many complaints, and he even said at one point, one every day I'm filing against him with a different commission, the City Ethics Commission run by Chuck Tato and his able staff, that I've kept him so busy over there, he didn't, A, have time to deal with my complaint and evidence before the State Campaign Spending Commission, and B, he thought kind of by answering the City Ethics Commission, he was in turn answering the State Campaign Spending Commission. Now, let's be really generous here. Maybe if someone were in that situation where one law enforcement agency was weighing him so much down that he didn't have time to deal with the other, you could feel a little sympathetic. Except for one little problem. He completely lied. Had the chairman of the Campaign Spending Commission this past Wednesday just gotten made a phone call to Chuck Tato at the City Ethics Commission, he would have found out from him firsthand, I haven't filed a single complaint. Not one, not two, not a thousand, not one every day. Not a single complaint against Tom Berg. Because I was going here first, the Campaign Spending Commission. So his attempt to say he's been too busy to answer it, and that's why he has zero, I mean, mm-hmm. he hasn't provided a single memo, mm-hmm. a post-it note, a credit card statement, a phone bill, nothing in his defense, mm-hmm. except this flimsy three-page letter, which starts off by saying the complaint is completely unfounded, but yeah, maybe I did all this wrong after all. that's what I'm dealing with. It's a guy. So he runs out the clock. I get kicked to the next month to finally get some justice against this guy based on a lie that I'm keeping him busy at some other courthouse.
Well, it's not your just. I thought when you filed this, it was about ridding the community and the people of bad players.
Yes.
You're not going to get any justice. I hope you didn't do this for your justice, because I filed mine because on face value,
yeah,
it was a matter of misappropriation,
yes.
inappropriate behavior,
yes.
and I would say, as I've always said,
right,
I don't. While I might be disappointed personally,
yeah,
I can't be the reporter, the judge, the jury, and the prosecutor,
yes.
and it kind of sounds like you this, but I hope it's not about you accomplishing that. I think what you've done is
right.
I applaud that, and what we do is we look at Berg. Here's my take on it.
Yeah.
The commission knows that they have a person who is desperate,
yes,
drowning,
yep.
people,
yep.
flail. Not all of them. Some of them just decide, okay, you know.
But it happened that day.
But what they reach for everything.
Yes.
And so it is a political right, the crunch period.
Yes.
So the commission might, in their wisdom, thinking that give him as much time as he desire, but we will limit it.
Yes.
We would rather not make a decision now and be accused of, as Mr. Berg had reached out and stated and made characterized this effort, as the government was out to get him.
Right.
When, in fact, it wasn't the government. I'm not the government. No. I filed a complaint based on information that I had that I felt that should be investigated further.
Right. Yeah.
And the affidavit that I gave stood on its own.
Yep.
And that's why I make the remark that we need more money and we need it to be funded, the commission.
Yes.
So what the commission, I believe, did, and this is just my personal opinion and observation, is that the commission decided, rather than be accused and lend itself to Mr. Berg's flailing and, and reaching out to catch anything floating by, they decided, what's wrong with giving you another week to present an argument? And it's not going to hurt you. Clearly, if you had almost a year or how many months, 10 months, 5 months. But anyway, he had, he had a long time to respond, but he didn't.
He didn't.
So and he responded, and as you described it, flimsy, and we'll talk about it. So I believe that the commission felt we'll let – at the end of the election, after the fact, they'll deal with this and not be accused of, because, you know, a drowning man will say anything and probably swallow a live fish if, while on his way, on his descent.
Right.
But one of the things that Berg responded, I hereby respond to Eric Ryan's complaint with the following statement. The complaint is unfounded on all fronts. However, any expenditures related to my campaign that I that have gone unreported per the accusations of Eric Ryan, I will wholeheartedly comply and file any necessary amendments to any campaign report period as required. See, this is...
Doublespeak.
Yeah, well, yeah, I mean, he didn't report anything, and then he says, but if I overlook something... No, you knew the nature of this. You should give all your attention.
Right.
But speaking of activities now, there was I know that you were seeking... unemployment and things like that. How is that case going? Have you had favorable rulings, or have they ruled in favor of the city against you on that? Can you briefly?
No, thank you for asking, because that actually plays into why it took so long for some of this stuff to make it before the Campaign Spending Commission and other authorities. I have won every single appeal that Berg has filed. See, you know, you fire someone who gives up his small business, suddenly he needs work. And he's been working for the city. Suddenly he's unemployed. He goes to get unemployment. His employer spends a lot of time fighting you, tooth and nail, on getting that, to the point where he completely invents things that I supposedly did. I mean, I should mention that the same. This is the same Tom Berg who took a page out of Kim Pine's book and tried to get a TRO against me, in which he accused me of threatening to kill him and bury his body up in the hills so no one will ever find it, and a whole slew
That's
of...
That's pollution.
Yeah, it would be pollution. I think the EPA would come and get me for something that toxically filled with alcohol. But anyway, just the extreme measures to which he'd go to try and undermine me with... whether it's the unemployment office or going to a court to get a TRO or going to the Campaign Spending Commission and flailing about and accusing me of, you know, everything, you know, taking food out of the babes of children, mouths of children or whatever, all to just divert attention from what's going on here. So I just wanted to point out that was a six-month-long appeals process that Berg put me through on the unemployment.
Mm-hmm.
And I won every step of the way, but he dragged it out. He invented evidence. It just went on and on and on. So I, in order to preserve the evidence, because believe me, that unemployment appeals process became just exactly about all the same stuff that the Campaign Spending Commission, soon the City Ethics Commission, soon the Attorney General are going to be dealing with, is all this behind-the-scenes shenanigans that I allege was going on in Berg's office.
Now, regarding, there was another claim of about expenditures spent on email lists. What was his, succinctly, what was his response to that?
Sure. That was one of the two easy guilty verdicts they're looking for. During the 2010 campaign, he purchased an email list from Voter Contact Services. He wanted me to e-blast out political messages in the 2010 campaign for city council to reach everyone in West Oahu from whom we could possibly buy an email address. And that was a little over 300, as I remember. And you have to report every penny. Well, the receipt was there from his purchase. The emails back and forth between me, him, and the vendor are all there. You know, you were saying earlier that little things they try and pretend don't matter. Little things like reporting T-shirts or reporting email lists. Next thing you know, they're not reporting anything. So that was one of the things where the staff recommended he fine $250 for not reporting that.
But his response way back in July 30th of 2012 was that the only one expenditure in question that I cannot offhand recall if I reported it was the purchase of a voter contact email list. I did indeed purchase that in 2010, but do not remember if I remembered to file it, and that can be remedied. And amending the report, and if omitted, I will make such corrections. I'm reading this because it's so disjointed.
Right.
Is this his normal response to everything? Because it seems that when he's told that it was wrong, he had adequate time, but he waited. And when did he respond? This is the only response until the date that he arrived here recently in the hearing?
He
on that one particular point?
That's all he ever said. See, the point you make is this is his written response to my complaint three months ago.
Right.
3 months ago, he says, I promise I'm going to fix all these problems in my report that were brought to his attention.
Right.
You go online right now, to this second, he hasn't filed an amended report
right.
in which he even grudgingly acknowledges one or two or three of these things, mm-hmm. even the Manini stuff he's refusing to put in there. Mm-hmm. So he plays dumb and says, I don't know, I don't remember, or whatever, but he's been told. He's now been told specifically, explicitly, and he won't admit.
I think this demonstrates the gamesmanship that he is able to play, and that is consistent with what, while he is thinking, if I can delay this and let the people vote, if I can get past a vote, then I'm successful, I will be on, then they'll have to vote me off if they're inclined to.
Oh, yeah.
So, and thinking, well, maybe, and this is me, just tossing this out, and this isn't Berg, but if in that situation, I suspect that it could be that he's saying, well, if the people vote me in knowing what they've seen already.
Right. That's a mandate.
Then, it is a mandate, and therefore they would stay the course and support me once I'm in. They wouldn't bother.
Right.
So it's a very precarious position for the voter.
Right. And, well, that's something that I want to pick up that you were starting to warn voters of earlier. When you get so worked up about a candidate or especially the issues they might represent, just remember what you are willing to ignore. See, I worked with Tom Berg. When he believes that what he is doing is right, I have seen it with my own eyes, and the evidence supports this, that he doesn't care if it's wrong, what he's doing, because the ultimate goal, I mean, I saw the illustration of ends justify the means play out so many times, and now he's playing it out in basically the court of law here. Mm-hmm. He's saying it's perfectly okay for me to do all these bad things and not report them because I was so busy fighting the rail, I was so busy, you know, saving the animals, that even though I do my own books for my own campaign, it was just a little oversight, a little typo. Mm-hmm. Well, that would be fine, except it's been 3 months since you brought this all to your attention, the details, and 3 months in which you promised explicitly, I will fix this.
Mm-hmm.
And there's been no fix.
Right. So many of these issues, and again, they're simply allegations. We don't know what the commission. You raise the allegation, you file them. That's what they are. Even it's an affidavit, it's your claims and what have you. It's going to be interesting how he responds to this next visit, or if he bothers. I'm quite curious to see how this unfolds.
And you're right. It's an allegation, and my characterization of it, that he broke a law.
Mm-hmm.
What is not an allegation, but is a certifiable fact, is the evidence. For instance, an email from him to Kim Pine, in which he says, Kim, this is him saying why he can't hire who she says he needs to hire. I will need all four staffers in my office, actually we had five, focused on Berg's reelection efforts. Mm-hmm. I don't have the support base that you do to offer staff position to just anyone. You know, I'm not at your level where I can forfeit a position like that for people who aren't helping my campaign. And then, or a couple days earlier, he writes me an email, Eric, I really want to hire you. We need to talk about your hours and salary, but I must have you control my websites, my email accounts, both council and campaign. We'll have one for each and flyers, and we'll be working on the campaign. So, you know, it's the facts are facts.
Good morning, caller. You have a comment or question?
Hi, yeah, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Aloha.
Aloha. Aloha.
I want to thank Mr. Ryan for coming on.
Well, thank you for being there.
And exposing yourself, but it seems to be that Mr. Berg wants you to be the fall guy, yeah?
Yeah, that's putting it mildly.
Yeah. To take, he wants you to be, instead of a public servant, he wants you to be a private servant.
Did you want to pay for that?
Well, he wants no.
Come on, dig a little deeper in that pocket.
But you know what really gets me is how they were so quickly they reacted to Ron Tam's situation.
Yeah.
You know, of him having. Just taking people out to lunch and what have you and not recording it correctly, you know. And yet what's going on between Pine and Mr. Berg,
yeah.
Is certainly, even more that should be, to have both of them removed from office. But now the people of Oahu in that district have an election upon them. And there's only these two candidates. Had this had been exposed prior to the primary,
yes,
these two candidates probably would not be around. In the faith of good judgment of the people, but
yeah.
That seems to be kind of a rarity also around here. But I do want to thank you, sir, and I look forward to keeping up and following. How can I get more information on this? I know a lot of your stuff is pretty tied up with the courts and what have you.
Thank you for asking that. Appreciate everything you said. The two websites where you can get the documents themselves, and we're adding more all the time, if you can get on the Internet, to KimPineIsACrook.com, and Kim spells her name K-Y. KimPineIsACrook. Okay. And then there's ImpeachBerg.com. And
okay.
Berg, at this point, win or lose, he's going to be in office till something like early January or something. And
yeah.
Pine has her job, I think, until like December at the State House. But the worst feeling I have about this whole experience is that I couldn't have done more way earlier than now to make sure that you had better choices when the ballot came out. Because yeah, it's just down to these two people who I consider unfit for office. And more people get to know it. They realize that's true. I wish they could have been somehow removed from the equation sooner, but criminal justice grinds slowly, and it grinds even more slowly for politicians.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry I couldn't have done more sooner, but your sentiments are mine.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, you know, you have to be careful too. So.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Thank you,
Colin. The least we can do is keep the water hot.
Really?
Yeah.
Make them uncomfortable. Okay.
You're not kidding. Thank you.
Okay, brother.
Much.
Thank you.
Hello, brother.
You know, the Eric. One of the things that that I would ask, and have to ask you as
please.
Well, and you know, we've been. You given extensive information and walked me through this.
Yeah.
But for myself and others, now I know you filed it. Could you speak to a lot of these things?
Yes.
I would ask, when did you realize that they were illegal, and when did you realize that they were unethical? For example,
yeah.
The list that you were operating with, you know, that you are reporting.
Right.
And you understand... A sensible person,
yeah.
Without getting involved and anointing themselves and to carry your ball and all,
right.
One must ask in fairness.
Right. When did I figure it out?
When did you figure it out? And sure. And at what, you know, you are an intelligent person and you're
right.
quite politically savvy.
Right.
How could you have allowed
right. oh,
you
yeah.
yourself to be duped, bamboozled, or
right.
volunteer?
Exactly.
So speak to that, if you would. And I have to ask you that
yeah.
so that people don't say you and I are sitting here in
right.
cahoots. You can speak to that.
No, if you hadn't brought it up, I really would have too. It's one of the things that keeps me awake at night, especially in the early days of this whole craziness.
You saw the light? Go ahead.
Thank you. What I call it seeing the light, I can barely see through the fog most days of what's going on. But I'd have to speak separately about Pine and Berg. With Pine, I didn't, honestly, this, I feel like the biggest idiot in the world. I didn't figure it out until she and I were done with each other until like spring or summer of last year. It had been months afterward that I finally figured out why it was she didn't want to pay me, and it was because she wanted to pretend that this same money wasn't it was for me instead of what it really went for this attack group that she set up illegally out there in Eva Beach and then
mm-hmm.
lied about the money. So I realized it's a with her it's a cover up of that and much more, but it was a little bit different working in the office for Tom Berg and the things we were increasingly getting asked to do each day.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to hide behind the fact that the obviousness of the employer-employee relationship is such that you're subject to doing what they tell you. It will eventually come out. You'll see the emails and hear some things where I did protest.
Right.
And I did protest, and I was threatened to be fired numerous times during the course of my employment about those illegal things that I didn't think we should be doing. I've been criticized by some people, both well-meaning and those who know better, and yet just want to be critical, that, gee, Eric, you didn't complain about this stuff until after you got fired, so obviously you're a disgruntled employee, and obviously you're just
you're
trying to get revenge,
too.
And you're crooked, too, and they hire people like you because they know that you'll do what they want because you're so sleazy and whatever.
Yeah.
You know, I've heard that, and I understand, for those who are being genuine, sincere about raising that issue, where that comes from, and I'm not going to deny that when you look at all of politics, it's filled with people, good, bad, and in between. But
mm-hmm.
what really happened there, day by day, is, you know, how they cook, you know, a live animal. You just slowly increase the temperature. And that's sort of what was done to us, is next thing, you come to work one day, and you do something a little bit questionable. Next thing, you'd come to work, and you're asked, did you get the questionable thing done? Now I have two questionable mm-hmm. things for you. All this while you're trying to get the job done and get home to your family each day. And next thing you know, you look back at just a few weeks and you go, oh, my God, what have we done? Because this isn't what I signed up for.
Mm-hmm.
So the Department of Labor that ruled in my favor repeatedly exhaustively went through all of the evidence that Tom Berg showed them. And I don't know these people. I didn't even know they existed, these appeals department within the Department of Labor. Till I get drawn into this process. They exhaustively reviewed every bit of evidence that Berg tried to put forward about, see, I fired him here because he talked back to me. See, I was threatened to fire him here because he wouldn't take vacation time for political work that I'd been making him do because he gets an anonymous email from someone threatening to expose him. So he panics. He says, you have to take vacation time,
mm-hmm.
et cetera, et cetera. So they exhaustively went through this, and that took 6 months of my life to show that I was never fired for misconduct. I'm not a disgruntled former employee. All of this quest for justice got put on hold because Berg dragged me into criminal investigations that went nowhere, TRO that went nowhere, unemployment things that went nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
And suddenly, now here I am closer to the election than I wished I was at the point where we are, where now we're focusing finally on the actual evidence against this guy.
Here's one of the things, and I not struggle with it, but when, you know, you and I talk on the phone and we talk back and forth, and,
yes.
and I want the listeners to listen. I thought that Bird had a smart streak. Bird had a smart, and he's an intelligent man.
Yes.
It's just poor management of whatever, but I thought, you guys were, that's been a group. I mean, you were there involved with the Tea Party.
That's
you
right.
were helped founding that.
That's right.
Kim Pine, they attacked, and you shared that information with us, where they were attacking other candidates and outright lying about
that's
it.
Right.
And you disclosed all of that. Here's what grabbed me.
Please.
And I'm still, Tom Berg is so desperate, and I'll describe, that's my description.
Sure.
Of wanting to be a politician.
Right.
That he should have, and I know that he's tolerated other people like Kimo Kelly and others that he's.
Yeah.
Was it just a bad moment that he had when he fired you? Because you're the last person. If I was Tom Berg operating, knowing how I've operated,
right.
knowing how I got here, knowing
right.
that I relied on you to carry my water and
yes.
protect my water from anybody pausing it,
right.
he fires you.
Yes.
You got to help me out and speak to that because, I mean, he know that you were privy and party and
right.
you participated in all of the, as I and others describe, underhanded behavior. Why would he just throw you to the dogs knowing that you can write and read?
If I can get angry. I'm going to answer you, but I'm afraid if I listen to a tape of my answer that I'm about to give you later, I'm probably going to say, oh, I mixed a few things up, but I'll do my best to answer it. This was an intense and confusing, crazy time in, say, June and July. I got fired on July 15th, 2011. The craziness started in earnest about a month and a half before that, when the whole Kim Pine is a crook thing started and the email blast went out
mm-hmm.
that she sent using my email and my website and my graphics without ever having paid me. And she continued to use, so she brought that harm on herself. But anyway, Berg, despite what I said earlier about Kim Pine telling him 6 months earlier after he won the election, I am running against you, Tom Berg. I mean, it doesn't get much more unequivocal than that. I am running against you, Tom Berg, because you didn't want to do what I want. So he's known, and we've been operating for 6 months, and this is what's before the Campaign Spending Commission, for 6 months preparing for battle against Kim Pine. And if I was still there, or whoever's there, been continuing to plan for battle against Kim Pine this entire time. It was no question mm-hmm. in my mind it was going to be Berg versus Pine in the general election ballot, just all things being equal. So Berg, though, lives in a world that I would describe as denial, where he thought he could convince Kim Pine to not run against him, but to run against, you know, take the step up from State House and just go for State Senate, Willie Aspero. Just because that was a kind of a plan kicked around before.
To attack Willie Aspero.
Yeah, she'd run against Willie Aspero, Berg would run for re-election, because that's still a step up for her, but she wanted the big nonpartisan job, which could take the R away from her name, is part of a stepping stone to maybe lieutenant governor next, whatever. But this is all based on my own conversations with her and understandings over the years. So Tom Berg thought he could either convince Kim or somehow make her not want to run against him. And so by throwing me to the wolves and see the, like the day he fires me, he had already started saying snarky things about me in the press about, God, it was just terrible what Eric did to Kim, and it's really embarrassed the whole staff. Well, I didn't do anything, and it's all proven out, but that doesn't matter. I didn't break any laws, I didn't do anything wrong. I'm the victim, whatever you want to say. But the point is, Berg was buying into all this, getting ready to throw me out there, and then the moment he threw me out there and fired me, trashing me, joined in with Kim Pine, just totally trashing me. So all I'm saying is that it was a confusing time because I'm just trying to keep my job. Berg is trying to placate Kim Pine, and he's thinking that by ditching me, he can rescue his chances of running alone for city council and I have Pine challenging him.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why, despite Berg already knowing Kim Pine is running full bore against him, he makes this desperate move. And as you've chronicled, he's made so many desperate moves. That was one of them, was to get rid of the guy who could have easily exposed him, as I'm doing.
You know, it's unfortunate, and this is why I reached out. And again, you have an open standing invitation to come back anytime. I'll explain why. It's rare. I don't care whether you're Republican, a zebra party, or the elephant party, the jackass party.
Sure.
I it's a rare occasion for someone, if you're willing to talk and to come out, and I mean, I got to be honest and open with you. Have given me every document. I think I even have your birth certificate somewhere in
here. That's right.
And I was thought, you know, but again, thank you for that. And for those that are listening, why do I have you? I noticed some of the negative comments about me and you on the
newspaper website.
Yeah, and I say to you, this is what I submit. Anytime any of you, man, woman, or child, could get just the guts, I won't say be a man,
right?
Just the human dignity about yourself and stop using pseudonyms.
Yeah. Oh my goodness.
You know, I mean, but I think Keith Rolman used his name. But again,
sometimes
the issue is, I appreciate. I'm not going to put a spin on it. I'll ask you how and why did you get involved and when did you know it, and do you expect us to all be sympathetic with you?
Sure.
And I would say, hell no.
Yeah.
We're not going to be so loving and embrace you because in our mind we're going to say, but on the other hand, I forego all of that because I'm appreciative of you giving us an insight. Nobody would ever.
Yeah.
The agencies responsible will never be able to touch this and get to the greater details. For example, you in your affidavit, you say that on item 11, on April 23rd, 2011, Berg received an email message from Christian Republicans, a group or entity unknown to me or Berg.
True.
In the email, the writer informed Berg that the writer knew that Berg's staff was working on campaigning for the Tea Party movement and Berg's reelection using city resources and city times.
Right.
See, and you submit an email.
This
right,
yeah.
But you you submitted the email.
Yeah.
You didn't generate that.
No.
And yet the rest of some of the media attacked you, and it's like, folks, if you want to know the truth, but in this town, the chapter 13 in the book that's going to be written about this state and this city, it's going to be kill the messenger.
Oh,
that's going to be the chapter. Kill the messenger.
Absolutely.
And chapter 14 is how to do it.
Yeah.
Right. And that seemed to be why I conclude that politics is corrupt in this town, and all the way up top.
Oh,
if instead of submitting an endorsement for Kurt Caldwell, for example, our illustrious Senator Inouye should be getting behind everybody to introduce us ethics bill and putting it, you know, but you know, priorities.
Oh sure.
So but. In all sincerity, I have some reservations in because of what my background, and I do the same thing. I have to ask sometimes, why does a truck driver want to bring me up and show me the illegal dumping that he delivered and dumped?
Exactly.
But then who am I? I'm no one other than to extend a hand to that person and say, thank you for not continuing to do what you were doing.
Right.
Thank you for sharing, and it gives the public one better glimpse.
Yes.
A better view of our political structure here.
Yeah.
So thank you, and I'm not, you know, patronizing you. I mean, I'll throw a shoe at you still.
I felt that shoe earlier when we were off the air.
Oh, now don't. I'm a good guy, Eric.
I'm sorry. That's what I'm told to say. You're a very good guy. I'm glad you mentioned that email, though.
Yeah.
Without exaggerating, you know how people say, do you remember where you were on 9/11 or the day Kennedy was shot? I remember where I was the day that that email got forwarded to me by Berg. What happened was someone or some people anonymously, I guess they created a Gmail email account and shot Berg an email saying, we know everything you've been doing. We know all the illegal stuff you've been doing, campaign-wise, stuff at City Hall, organizing the Tea Party and your campaign from your office, fundraising, whatever. So he gets these anonymous emails. You know, and I admit, I look back on that now and I go, geez, that sounds like what I've been saying, but only lately, not then. At the time, we were hunkered down. We had just finished actually coordinating a good part of the Tea Party and Tom's campaign advertising from City Hall. And the last thing we needed to hear was someone saying, we got you. And that was the actual subject, I think, of the emails. We got you, and we know what you've been doing. And there were two emails that Tom forwarded to me over the weekend. And everything changed because of that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, anyway, I really appreciate it. And you're going to have to come back. And I'm hoping that the rest of the media and others receive what you have rather than who you are,
yes.
What they have concluded you are, because it must be one of your fans.
Or not.
Good morning, caller. You have a comment or question?
Yes. Mr. Ryan?
Yes.
You said you were stupid. How could you not realize, I mean, what is your history of working with politicians that you didn't really know Ms. Pine? I mean, it's mind-boggling that, you know, it sounds to me like you're just whining.
You're right. I should have known Pine was a crook from day one, and I appreciate the encouragement in that regard. You have to understand, if you're in business and you're dealing with lots and lots and lots of customers and clients, there isn't time to soul search on every single client and every single customer you take on. I mean, it's not like my clients are people that are committing genocide in Darfur. I mean, these are just, you know, different types of clients. So I don't specialize in political clients. But
I know we're almost
caller. Caller, let me ask you the one caught my.
I can hardly hear you, by the way.
Will you hear me now?
No, it's
well.
Really
okay.
Faint.
Well, I'm going to ask you the question, and you can. You indicate that he said he was stupid, and you went on to say, "How could you not know about Pine? What is it that you know about Pine?"
All you have to do is just watch Olelo and watch the legislature work. I mean, it doesn't take – it's just not rocket science.
Okay, so you concluding also that that Pine is what? I'm just trying to gather from there.
Well, come on. You're trying to verify what, Mr.
No,
Cox?
Look.
By the way, I got a question for
look,
you, Mr. Cox.
No, listen. No, wait, hold on.
No, let me,
hold,
let me,
no
let me,
you're not going to ask
I'm
any
–
no.
I'm a caller now.
No, I don't
–
listen.
Respect for the callers?
No, if the caller doesn't have any respect for me, there's not – you don't constitute
– Oh,
it's not a call if you –
You won't let me get in my question.
No. No.
Well,
no.
Anyway,
listen,
Mr. Ryan, quick whining.
Yeah. Okay. See, this is
sounds like he's very concerned about corruption enough to call in.
This is again, callers, listeners. This is consistent with the Tom Berg, Kimberly Pine strategy.
Yes, it is.
The pseudonyms.
Yes.
You know, you're welcome to say anything, but you shift from you know they don't understand that when you call up and you. Make a statement while asking a question, and then when you're asked a clarity,
yes.
Oh, no, this is the typical teabagger nonsense. And caller, you can call back, and I call you a teabagger and probably would call you more than that, but I'm respectful. But it's that.
Oh, yeah.
This isn't Fox News. You don't get to say what you want and shift gears when we go to answer that question or speak to that specific point. So, anyway, I thank you for sharing. And any time you got documents, if I'm not bright enough to sort through them to look for the truth, then it's my problem. It's not your problem. If you can pull the fast one on me, it's not my problem. It's your problem because I'll come back and tax you.
I'll never accuse you of whining, Carol.
Yeah.
Because you have documents.
Isn't that cool? I mean, you goes from you say that you're stupid, then all of a sudden you're a whiner.
Well, the day that these people actually simultaneously aim their fire, not at me. I mean, I can take my lumps. But if they at least simultaneously said one thing against the corruption and the corrupt politicians, then I would know they're being genuine and they're not just partisan hacks.
Yeah.
But when they just attack the whistleblower, attack the messenger, but they've got nothing questionable to say about Berg or Pine, it tells you everything.
Well, anyway, when people offer arguments such as that, not even an argument, it's nonsensical, and it's quite similar to that of Berg's behavior, and quite naturally, you don't get to dictate what I answer, if you want to participate. But anyway, thank you, Eric. And
thank you.
Real quick, this is on another subject, and I'll talk about it next week. The HGEA filed another Step 2 grievance. And listen to some of the things. This is to Mr. William Isler. They're storing ammunition up at Manana. Dangerous situation there.
Still.
Body armor not being replaced. And we've talked about this. For example, the ammunition for the OR branch is stored in a shipping container that is no way allows appropriate temperature and humidity control. the men are struggling just to be protected and respected. There were several acts here. Inadequate radio communication. DoCare does not have single dedicated dispatcher. DoCare's marked patrol vehicles are not uniformly equipped. Again, Mr. Isla, you should hire a professional to lead that division, and in turn, it will benefit and protect the resources, because if you don't have that properly equipped, the people can't protect the INA that you love. And it is the respectable thing to do. Let's cut the politics out. You need to give Randy Awo a ticket back to Maui and hire a professional, whoever that may be. But this is bad when you expose the officers to dangers. So anyway, thank all of you for joining. And caller, whatever you were, feel free to call back next time. Okay.